Hey, everybody, it's your old pal Rob. I hope you all are doing very well today. This is going to be broken up only because the sound quality be one way and another way. I'm going to have to do some of this on the road, I've got a feeling. But I'm going to try to do my best to get this in and get as good a quality as we possibly can. Now, to open up the show, things are kind of going from bad to kind of worse. As my health continues to go sideways, I was supposed to do a live playthrough of Dungeon Crusade. Matter of fact, we were going to do kind of like an opening on Wednesday, and then basically we were going to kind of continue that into Thursday, where we were going to do the Adventures of Avalon. Unfortunately, I've been in a tremendous amount of pain, and they want to get me in right away to check a few things out. We've been through a few things, and we're going to continue to kind of suffer through and get through it. So I'm pushing on, nothing to worry about, but Dungeon Crusade's live setup and playthrough will be Monday and Tuesday of next week at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that is going to be with Roger Deering. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I can't wait to bring it to you. I'm sorry for some of the background noise that you heard in the opening there. But actually, I had the door open and the washer was going. Yeah, so professional, so professional. A couple of things I wanted to talk about, some games that I brought in that you'll probably see videos after this goes up. Does anybody remember Battle Stations from Guerrilla Games? You know, this is really a forgotten gem of a game. And I decided to bring it in out of the storage unit and take a second look at it. And you know, it still holds up today. I didn't realize I painted a majority of the miniatures. You know, a couple things need a touch up here or there, but I've got enough to kind of start a little bit of a playthrough here on the channel. And I think that's what I'm going to do. And I really want to show this game off. There was supposed to be another addition to it. Jeff was talking about doing, I think it was Dirt Side, which is also the same name of another game from Ground Zero. But it was more 15 mil. Oh God, I have it too. It was from the same company that did Full Thrust. Yes, they did Full Thrust, and then they did Dirt Side. And Dirt Side was supposed to be the equivalent of Ground Warfare. And actually, it was a really pretty neat system. And there's still a website that you can go get all that stuff, believe it or not. And it's all fantastic. It's over in England. Shipping costs, of course, are ridiculous. But I bought a ton of the Full Thrust stuff, and I absolutely love it, and I play with it still. It's one of my favorite systems. They streamlined it, made it a little bit better. The Ground Zero, again, 15 mil, a lot of fun. You can play it on a little 4x4, 2x2, and really just have a real blast with it. It's just one of those games that really, really, really stands out. But getting back to Battle Stations, an absolute masterpiece. And just one of those games that I really suggest that you bring, that you take a look at the video that I'm going to be doing for it. Another game I brought in was Legions of Steel, an old game from Global Games Company, and was tried to be kickstarted a while ago by Raybox Games. The guy tried to get it going again, and it didn't go that well. I think it failed on Kickstarter. It was really tough to kind of sell this game, but a lot of people that played this game really enjoyed this game, and I was really shocked that it didn't go through. But a really, really great system, fun. It's kind of like Terminator Space Hulk. I got a video that will probably go up, I want to say Friday this week, you'll see. And I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And it's just one of those games that just absolutely stands out and is just absolutely glorious. And it's a game that actually is just a lot of fun. It boasted over 1 pound of metal inside the box. And it did. It had over a pound of just metal figures in there. Terminators, soldiers, and the big boss in there. And it just had a ton of replayability because you could just about do anything with this particular game. It really was something that was different out there. Has that, you know, 90s feel to it, which is always fun and exciting to mess around with. And just an all-in-all fun game. Another one that I brought in and I couldn't wait to show you guys. And I get excited because I go into that storage unit. And like I said, I've got over 3,000 games. Listen, I'm not tooting my own horn or anything like that, even though, you know, toot. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that I go in there and I think, gee, you know, what do they want to see? What would be interesting instead of just doing the same old Cult of the New stuff that's out now? And, you know, I find a lot of really neat stuff out there to bring in there. And it's really, really just, you know, you see something, you go, well, you know, something, maybe they'll like this, maybe they'll like that, maybe they'll like this. And it's fun to bring it in, show it off to you guys and get your reactions to it. Because, you know, we tend to forget about the older stuff. And the older stuff really, really holds up well, some of it at least. And then some of it gets really dated and you're surprised at how quickly it gets dated. But, you know, things like Legions of Steel, Battle Stations, which is a completely forgotten game, which people really, you know, you can go to Guerrilla Games and still purchase this game. And really have an enjoyable and fantastic experience. And another game I brought in that I really think is one of those games that I just, if they printed enough copies of it, I think it would have took off even more. And that is Techno Bull. Brent Spivey built a fantastic football game. And it is, unlike anything else, it's fun. And it's so enjoyable, easy to learn, impossible to master. But all the games are usually close and come down to, you know, like a last second play or something. It works off of cards. There's all kinds of different ways that you can play it. You can have a league, tournaments. It's just one of those games that really stands out there. And really is a fantastic and glorious experience. And I highly, highly suggest you check that out. And a matter of fact, they have it as a downloadable PDF now. You can go to a site or you can have it made, I believe, at, oh God, Drive-Thru Cards or something like that. He has his own site that you're going to want to check out. And if you just put in Tech Noble, that's T-E-C-H-N-O, Bowl. The game will come up. Some videos will pop up. And, you know, you can check it in YouTube, but check it on the web. You can go directly to a site and you can find out where you can get this game relatively cheap and see what it's all about. Or go on eBay. I've seen a couple of them on eBay, but they're pretty expensive, to be honest with you. But you know, if it's something that you see and you really think will hold up, I'm telling you right now, it is a fantastic and glorious experience. You can often find Brent on the BGG page, talking it up, answering any kind of questions, and it's just one of those all-time great games, and it's just under the radar, completely under the radar, and just a fantastic, fantastic game. another game I brought in from the storage unit, and a whole bunch of stuff went out. I was surprised at how much stuff I took out of here. Stars of Icaros. Even though in the video I said I was going to take out, I was going to leave Space Hulk here, I ended up taking Space Hulk, Frostpunk, which is another game. It's not that these games are bad. It's I brought them back to let them just sit for a while instead of sitting on the shelves here, because I try to mix up the shelves here with games that I'm going to be playing or filming videos of. And then every 2 weeks, I kind of swap some things out, bring some things in. Maybe I played something and go, okay, I'm not going to play this again. You know, we brought a ton of stuff that are in the top 10 to 15 games of all time for me. But the thing is that, you know, how long does it hold up? You know, you can't play the same thing all the time. And, you know, some of the things, you know, I leave here because I know I'm going to come back to, or there are things I know that I want to paint or get, you know, kind of in line with everything, with the channel. And then there are just things that I say, okay, well, you know, it's time for this to go. And like the old saying goes, how can I miss you if you don't go away? And, you know, the minute I start thinking about it, you know, they come back. And that's what I do. But a lot of stuff went out of here, and I was really surprised at how much I took out. And then, you know, some of the old favorites that I brought back that I was really, really excited to really get going. I actually brought in some of the expansions for Chronicles of Drungor because I want to get those painted up. So I'm excited to get those all situated and painted up and looking real nice. You know, I'm working on Dead Zone, which I'm excited about. I'm working on Conquest. I brought in some Flames of War to work on. I brought some pirates in so I can do a couple of pirate battles with Blood and Plunder. I think that'd be fun to see. I brought some scenery in. You know, really just kind of switching things out while I'm creating with other things and really just getting some things in place so we can really have a you know, some fun. And, you know, as I continue to try to get better and everything, you know, and get through some of the personal issues that I've got going on, you know, really trying to get to a point where, you know, we're set to really take the channel to another height. And it's not about subscribers or viewers or, you know, likes and stuff like that or views. It's about things that are going to be exciting for, you know, the small group of you out there that watch this channel and support the channel and, you know, really put your hearts into things, you know, what, you know, and, you know, of course I have the fear that, you know, unfortunately there's going to be a time where I just can't do this. You know, I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. And, you know, because, you know, the tumor that I have and where it's at and, you know, some of the things that I'm facing and going through. And, you know, tomorrow's never guaranteed. So, you know, you just try to kind of figure out where you're going to be at, how you're going to do things, and just make the best of it. I think that's all you can ever do. And, I'm trying to set the channel up so, you know, you have enough of it. And, you know, if I have to go away in style. Go away with feeling at the end of the day that, you know, you said everything that you could possibly say. And, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about this and just let you know what I'm trying to do and how, you know, we're trying to get things done and give you the best that we can. You know, whether, I know I'm stumbling over my words here, but, you know, whether things go south or, you know, I'm able to come back and just keep creating. So we're going to give you everything we got. I promise you that. And I don't think you're going to be disappointed with anything with our dedication and our hard work. All right. On the other side of this, we're going to talk about a few things that I've got in my head here. And then from there, we'll get out of here. We'll make this one a short one. believe it or not. We got a bunch of interviews hopefully coming up soon, and a lot of stuff that I'm really looking forward to bringing you, and just giving you the best I can. We'll see you on the other side of this. So I wanted to tell you guys a quick story, and it was kind of funny. We had a couple things go on here at the farm. So a little Bigfoot sighting or skunk ape or whatever you want to call it. It was the funniest thing. It was Saturday night and I wasn't feeling too hot, and my wife, the dogs wanted to go out. Of course they want to go out about 10:30 at night. So, what I did was, I said, I'll take them out. So I have this high powered flashlight, and it's like a gun flashlight. It's LED, and you know, you could see everything that you could possibly see. So I take the pups out, and, of course, Bella is running all over, and you know, we got all the acreage and everything like that, but it's fenced in. Our yard is fenced in from the paddock. And, so I'm flashing a light on her and I'm following her. And I always like to point the thing out in the forest because there's little cut throughs and you can see all the way to like a certain path on another property. Well, I shine the light and I see these two giant yellow eyes. Now I'm thinking, what the heck is that? Now, I tracked a lot of things over my career. And, I can figure out and see a lot of things and know what things are. But when I looked at this thing, I could not tell what it was. And it caught me off guard. So now I can't figure out what this thing is. And I'm looking and it's looking at me. And I'm trying to get closer with the light flashed on it, and it's two huge yellow eyes. I'm thinking, well, maybe a bear, but it didn't stand like a bear. It you know, I couldn't even make out the shape of it. So I started walking towards it a little bit, and I'm kind of figuring it's about 6 to 6.5 feet off the ground, you know, maybe 7 feet. I go, is it in the tree? I can't tell. But it's just looking dead at me. And the eyes were too far apart for it to be a raccoon, because last night we saw a raccoon in the tree and you could definitely tell it was a raccoon. This was something else. It turned. And I mean, it turned. And then it let out this howl. And it wasn't a howl. It was like a screech. And I can't identify the sound. And my wife came out and goes, what is that? I go, Tam, you're not going to believe what I just saw. I mean, I don't even know what the hell it is. And it just, you heard the branches crash and cracking as it went through the forest. And I'm trying to get closer. And I said, just get the dogs in. And it's this, whatever it was like this screeching, horrid noise. And, I've never seen anything or heard anything like that. And I've been around the block a few times. Even my wife went, what the hell was that? I have no idea what it was. So we got the dogs in. It stopped making noise. I couldn't see anything. Got everybody in the house, locked all the doors. I was going to get my son up and go out and try to find out what it was, but he was already sleeping, lazy bum. So with that done, we decided to call it a night. And of course, she can't sleep. Me, I'm just trying to figure out what it was. For all I know, it could have been an alien, for crying out loud, knowing my luck. I go, it figures, and I don't have my phone with me to tape it. I go, you know what I'll do the next morning? I'll get up and I'll go see if I can find any footprints. Because every time you see one of these Bigfoot things or the abominable snowman, nobody goes over there and gets a footprint. If you see this thing walking, okay, in the forest and you got it on tape, The first thing I'm doing is I'm taking some plaster or some kind of molding stuff, and I'm getting that footprint so I can prove, hey, this thing was here. And here's its footprint, because obviously it's going to make some kind of footprint if it has any kind of weight. I go, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up in the morning. So I get up about 7:30, get my boots on, and I go, well, let's go walking through. I walk through. I couldn't find a footprint. And I have boots on, and I was leaving footprints because we got sugar sand here in Florida. So I looked all over the place, and I walked a great area. I couldn't find anything. And then I started checking the trees where they were to see if there were any kind of claw marks. You know, what? Maybe it was a raccoon or a possum or anything that was holding onto that tree. I couldn't find anything. And I've tracked, and I've found things all my life. I thought, well, maybe it was a deer. No, deer moves quickly and moves its head a certain way, and you would see it. I just could not figure out what that was. And to this day, as I'm talking to you now, we still can't figure out what it was. So last night, I go out, and I'm just constantly looking every night with that flashlight to see if that thing will come back. Last night, we actually saw a raccoon, like I said a little earlier, in the tree. In the tree. And the eyes were closer. And, of course, it looked at me the same way almost. But either that was, you know, a 6 foot, 6.5 foot mutant raccoon, which it could be, or something. I just have no idea what it was. Or maybe it was a Florida skunk ape, for all I know. Who knows? But I had quite the weird thing, and I'm going to try to get it. And I make sure I have my camera, my phone with me all the time. So if I get this, boy, that's the first thing I'm doing. I'm putting it on YouTube and saying, look, I wasn't lying. So there you go. Just a little funny story here on the old farm. And it's been quite a few days here on the farm. The girls got all their vaccinations and their deworming. The cows are all set, and we are going to have some excitement here over Easter weekend. I'm, you know, here and healthy enough to see it, but we have our first bull coming on, and he's going to be Mr. Playboy. And, well, we're going to try to have some more cows. So we're going to get everybody all impregnated, and that ought to be a fun 10 months. So we're looking forward to having that. The doctor came by today and let us know when he was going to be dropping that off. And like I said, he gave the girls all their vaccinations. Everybody's in fantastic health. Chickens are doing good, and we are moving into phase 3 of our farm plan, which we'll keep you informed, and you can see more and more on Florida Homestead on YouTube as my son runs that channel. And right now we're hatching a bunch of eggs on top of it, and we're going to have baby chicks, and hopefully we're going to get a bunch of hens out of that, start mass producing eggs here. We're doing really good. We're getting almost a dozen a day, but we want to, you know, we want to up it up a bit so we can help some of our friends at work and things like that, and help people. I mean, geez, eggs, $7 a dozen. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane when you really think about it. So I'll come on the other side of this. We'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll finish up this week's podcast. Well, not bad. This was just going to be a quick update. Like I said, my health has not been great, but I still keep on trying to give you the best I can. We've got so much going on the YouTube channel. We've got a lot coming up on this podcast. Like I said, I'm going to try to do my best to bring you the best I can while my health is still somewhat good. I'm going to go out with my boots on, folks. I'm going to keep swinging until I can't swing no more. And it's just one of those things that I really, truly believe in my heart. And I hope you guys understand that I'm giving you the best I can. I really am. And those of you that stayed, I want to thank so many people that have stayed on. And when I made this announcement, you know, we lost 200 subscribers, you know, because who wants to hear, you know, some guy saying that, hey, I don't know how long I'm going to go. And I can't blame him for leaving. You know, God bless you. I wish you Godspeed. Somebody else would do it better. There's a lot of younger people out there that can bring you a lot of really great content, and I hope they make you happy. We just don't need you here. We don't. This is just one of those channels that just really is outside the box. And because I really believe that it's part of me and it's part of you. And it's the things that we try to do that's different. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be an infomercial. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll probably say it 1,000 more, but we're going to bring you the best that we are, who we are, and how we are. And we're going to have fun. It's about fun. And you should have fun. And I try to teach you some things along the way. And like I always told you, Dr. Zayas was right. And you should listen to him, because it just proves even more to me each and every day that I live how right Dr. Zayas was. If you haven't seen the original Planet Apes, go see it. The 1968 version with Charlton Heston. Absolute classic. Absolute wonderful, wonderful movie. Depressing as all hell, but a great, great movie. But, you know, that's what those movies were back in the days. The well-written, the ending, you know, was helped out by Rod Serling, one of the greatest writers of all time. You know, I miss people like Harlan Ellison and Ray Bradbury for their imagination and all their wonderment. You know, all the, you know, Rod Serling, all these brilliant, brilliant minds that used to just create these wonderful, wonderful stories. And believe it or not, they were right. But then again, so was Dr. Zayas. So again, until next time, we've got plenty going on. And I hope you'll join us on next week's podcast. We have plenty of interviews coming up. Like I said, we'll have Geek Gamers finally once she gets back from vacation. And we had so much fun last week with Liz Davison. And we just got more and more people coming up. And I think you'll really enjoy what we have going here. And I want to thank everybody that follows us here on the channel. I love you all. And until next time, it's your old pal Rob. We'll see you soon, everybody.